But first, the 2020 legislative session gets underway on Monday as Governor Ducey gives his State of the State address. Yesterday, we heard from Senate President Karen Fan on some of her predictions and priorities for the upcoming session. Today, we move across the Capitol Mall to the State House, where I sat down with Minority Leader Charlene Fernandez of Yuma. And I started our conversation by asking what to her is the top issue of this year's session.
It's like Groundhog Day. It will be education, K-12 education. Obviously, community colleges and higher education is right there with it, but definitely K-12.
What about K-12? Because there's been a lot of talk in the past about teacher pay. There's been a lot of talk about class sizes, a lot of talk about textbooks and the soft capital kind of thing. What do you think will sort of dominate the discussion this year?
All of the above. I think it's very important that, you know, we address all those issues. And then now we have a few more. We have schools that are, you know, feel that the need for counselors, additional counselors, social workers, people that can take care of the needs of kids that are having problems. And we know that there are families out there struggling. So I think all of the above.
Are there others as well? I mean, are there other issues that maybe haven't been as big in the past that might come up this year?
I think absolutely infrastructure. It's been big in the past, but I think many of us have heard from our stakeholders. We know that there's issues out there as far as bridges that need to be repaired so kids can get to school. And we've actually gone out there. My colleagues have been out to the Navajo Nation, to Navajo County, and we've seen the needs out there, and they have to do with infrastructure. What's exciting about putting investment into infrastructure, just like putting investment into our kids and K-12, this will build our economy. And we know when we start investing in infrastructure, we're going to add new jobs and good paying jobs. That's another thing that we're going to work on. We know that the economy is doing well. We hear the governor. But we also know that there's people out there working two or three jobs just to make ends meet. We know that housing is a big issue. So those are the things we need to tackle, and we're ready for it.
Along those lines, there has been some talk about a so-called poverty weight added to K-12 funding, where there might be some additional money to schools and particularly the low-income areas on top of Title I funding. Is that something that you think is a possibility? Is that something that you think is needed or would help?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I come from Legislative District 4, which includes Yuma County, and a poverty weight would very much help an area like Yuma County. That would also be all our rural areas, although metropolitan areas see those problems too.
You mentioned infrastructure, and I wanted to ask you specifically about the budget, because the state is sitting on some extra money this year, and of course, there's the discrepancy between ongoing revenue and one-time revenue, and infrastructure strikes me as something that could potentially be something that could get maybe some support in the one-time funding kind of situation, where you have a bridge that needs to be repaired, you have some money, you do it, and it's not something that has to be done every single year. Is that the kind of idea that you and your colleagues are going to be pushing to do with some of that one-time money?
Absolutely, some of it. But we have to think about how important ongoing is, because many of these projects are big projects, and they have to think about how they're going to fund it year after year after year. And this allows cities and towns and counties to plan and decide that, you know, they're going to repair this road or they're going to build a new road. And this puts people back to work. One-time funding is wonderful. It is. And I would love to see us invest in many of those projects that are already out there and need funding today. But we need to think about ongoing. We need to make sure the revenue is there year after year after year.
The conventional wisdom seems to be that in some ways a budget is easier to do when there's not much money or no extra money, because you just say no to everybody. Whereas in a situation like now where there is extra money, you say yes to some people and no to others. Do you buy into that? Do you think it's harder to do a budget when there is extra money? And to some extent, there are going to be winners and losers?
Well, I think it's an exciting time. You're asking someone that hasn't been able to be part of the budget process. You know, we're shut out, but we're developing our own budget. We did last time. We're going to do it again this session. And it's an exciting time to see that we could really make some changes in Arizona, that we can affect those working families, that we can talk about childcare. We can talk about we have an issue with people that take care of our most vulnerable, right, in the state of Arizona. Talk about how we can really affect some change.
One of the other issues that has been getting a lot of attention, especially during the interim, is that of short-term rentals, Airbnb, VRBO, things like that. And a lot of communities are concerned about the number of these short-term rentals in their communities and what that's doing for housing costs, things like that. The governor has signaled that he's not super excited about too many more changes to that law. I'm wondering from your perspective and from your caucus's perspective, what would you like to see happen to sort of reach a happy medium in that area?
Well, we've had two members that served on that ad hoc committee, and actually we haven't even debriefed them to find out exactly, you know, the outcome of that committee. But I know for us, we always talk about local control. It's very important to us that communities, you know, elect their board of supervisors, their city council, that usually know what's going on in their area. As a state legislature, we came in and preempted that. I think we need to revisit local control to make sure that we're talking to our city council members, our community members, the leaders, and see exactly what's happening in their areas. We know what's happening in Flagstaff, and it can happen, you know, anywhere else. So I think a local control, as always, has been very foremost for us.
Last session, there was a lot of talk about the Department of Corrections with locks that were broken and correctional officers that were leaving and needing pay increases. What do you see for DOC? Obviously, it's a really big part of the budget as it is. What do you see for DOC coming up this year?
Well, it's a $1 billion budget. You know, first and foremost, it's a $1 billion budget. I think we, as a legislature, we've appropriated. I've been on appropriations. I know that money has gone toward those locks, that they continue to have a problem. They have infrastructure issues there. You and I both know that they had some water issues this summer, in the middle of summer, where two of our prisons didn't have access to any water. I think those are issues that we need to review. We need to be proactive about it. So I think DOC needs to be looked at, you know, their budget needs to be looked at.
So I have to ask you at least one political question. We are at the Capitol after all. 2020, of course, an election year, and, you know, that can sometimes do wonky things to the legislative session as everybody's either running for re-election or running for a different office. What kind of impact do you think 2020's election cycle will have on your session down here?
I think it's going to be a very intense session. I think there's things we have to deal with. The water issue is still out there. Obviously, you know, our K-12 infrastructure, all the issues we talked about. And to tell you the truth, we were out there last after Sine Die. We've been campaigning since then. And so we'll be here for the duration. If it's another 135, 55-day session, whatever it was, you know, well, we'll be here for the long haul, and then we'll get out and campaign afterwards.
You mentioned the water issue. I want to ask you quickly about that, because that is an issue that you've worked on for a long time. And of course, last year, the legislature passed the drought contingency plan. Are there more water-related issues, statewide issues, or even for particular parts of the state that you think lawmakers need to be working on this year?
Oh, absolutely. When we hear on your station and obviously read in the Arizona Republic what's happening throughout Arizona, whether it be metering water or not metering water. I've been to meetings where we've talked about both. I think those issues are very important. We have to think about the next generation. This isn't about today or tomorrow. This is from years from now that we have to make sure that the water is sustainable for Arizona.
So are you looking at potential conservation measures, other maybe restrictions on home building or development, that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, we talk about conservation. I think it was because of our Democratic caucus that there were some conservation parts of the drought contingency plan. We made sure those were in there. We want to continue those talks. Like I said, it's about sustainability.
All right. That is Arizona House Minority Leader Charlene Fernandez. Representative Fernandez, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.